Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. That's good. Next, I take an ice bath.
Ooh, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes.
Breakfast is raw liver.
Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Signos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie. I'm an author, a fierce advocate for Black women, and the founder of the Curvy Curly Conscious Movement. In this space, I'm sharing what I've learned on my own journey while sitting down with some amazing women who are all navigating their own paths to healing. Because there's no better time than now to get a little unruly.
Hey there, beautiful people. Welcome back to Unruly. It's obviously your girl, Sheila Marie. And, you know, this is a space where we have conversations at the intersection of culture, healing, and radical acceptance. So we definitely gonna be talking about culture today, specifically Ghana. Yeah. We are going home for the holidays, honey. Okay. This year, I have partnered with Sorted Chalet, and we have the CEO of Sorted Chalet here with us. And she's going to break down a lot of questions everybody's been having about Ghana. At the top of this, I do want to say that we do have spots available for the Unruly Retreat in Ghana for Dirty December. You can get all the details at theunrulyretreat.com, and it'll lead you there to the landing page. You can get all the information about payment plans, rooming, what we're doing, etc. Okay, so without further ado, I want to talk about today's guest, and I've been wanting to have her on for a minute because I admire her work so much. I am so excited to have Videt Ojorolo here with us. I hope I said her last name right. Y'all, please don't come for me. She is the founder of Sorted Chalet, a travel startup focused on building a community of travelers who love Africa, period. She's a wellness strategist, a spiritual guide, a truth speaker, period. I love that. And someone who's deeply committed to what it means to unlearn survival, reclaim rest, and see the world. And without further ado, welcome to the stage, Videt. Ah!
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, your voice on podcast. Like, I could listen to your voice every day. This is so fascinating. I know I should be listening to everything you're saying, but I'm just like, wow.
Really?
Why? $1 million voice. Girl, go and get your bags with this voice.
It's money, 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 money. I'm back. Call me back, lady. Yes. Thank you, Videt. That's such a huge compliment.
No. It's. I'm not even saying this because we're on the podcast. It's literally amazing. And yes, I love how you pronounce my name. I think there's a unique, like, twang to how you say my name. I literally love it. No, every time I hear you say my name, I'm just going to turn and say, hey, Sheila. Like, I don't even have to see your face. I just know it's you pronouncing my name.
So,
you know, thank you for having me here. I met you in Atlanta, I think.
That's
it was
right.
Last year.
Yeah.
Through Jessie, who was obviously an amazing friend of Sorta Chale. And, you know, you were just so welcoming, such a positive, radiant vibe. It's not an act, you know, guys. She is who she portrays carries herself as in person as well.
Oh, thank you.
That's something that everybody can just see, the ray of sunshine that you are. So super excited to be able to commune with you in this way, even though we're 1,000 miles apart from each other.
That's right. Thank you. We do feel we're very far away, but I feel very close. She's reporting live from Dubai, guys. No big deal.
Habibi, so, come to Dubai.
Hey, Habibi. I love Dubai. I ain't gonna hold you. Okay, so I'm gonna start with like some rapid fire icebreaker questions, okay? Mm-hmm. You're a world traveler. What does home look like to you now?
Home is 100% Ghana. That's it.
Yes.
That is it.
Done. What does it feel like in your body when you're in Ghana?
I think for me, it feels at peace. It just feels at home. I don't know how to describe it, but my body is relaxed, and my body immediately understands that I'm not a stranger in this space.
Ooh.
That's what it feels like to me. Yes.
Wow. I feel like that is something that a lot of descendants of chattel slavery, like we don't, the ones that, you know, we got a diaspora. So a lot of us were dropped off at different stops. But I feel like Black Americans are always kind of, not all of us, not a monolith, but a lot of us search for that feeling of home. So, you know, you regularly host trips for Detty December in Ghana. Can you explain, first of all, what is Detty December and what is something that someone who has never been there, what do you think they wouldn't expect?
That's such a great question. So before we jumped in this podcast, I think I saw an email that said DUTTY, Detty December. And I said, oh, that must be the Caribbean version of Detty December.
Oh, no, Detty.
I was like, oh, I want to experience Detty December somewhere in Jamaica.
I'm crying.
But, the first thing to know is I think Detty December is, you know, Detty, D-E-T-T-Y, right? So for the people who always like, you know, feel like, oh, am I pronouncing it right? Is this an accent thing? No, it is Detty December in that sense. And I think for the people who are coming into Ghana or let's say Nigeria who might not know what to expect from Detty December, I'm going to share a little bit of a story that I had experienced. I know this is rapid fire, so let me know if I'm not being rapid enough.
You're firing. No, that's good.
But I remember moving from Hong Kong to Ghana, which is where I was originally based before I relocated. And even though I was born in Ghana and spent, you know, a bit of my childhood there before I moved to London, I remember being in a bar somewhere, it was a random weekend, and just dancing and just stopping and thinking for a second, oh my God, everybody around me is exactly like me. And in a sense, that was a little bit of a culture shock because in as much as I'm Ghanaian, I spend the majority of my life in places that weren't necessarily homogeneous or were not majority Africans or, you know, Black people. And that culture shock was both exciting, but also just a relief to me as someone who, you know, consistently has lived in different places. And I think for the people who come down for Detty December, it's really that realization that you are part of a bigger, you know, group of people. You might be a minority in a sense in the United States, but certainly not in Africa. You are a majority. And I think that realization is really powerful. And a lot of people don't realize the culture shock they go through when they look around and everybody looks like them and everybody feels like them. There might be some nuances, of course, you know, it could be an accent, it could be a background, the way you were raised. But for the most part, we are connected by the fact that our ancestors are from the exact same place.
Do you feel that that's why there's such an uptick in Black Americans traveling to Ghana?
Certainly. I mean, who doesn't want to live in a place where everybody reminds them of themselves, right? I see you in me and you see yourself in me as well. So without a shadow of a doubt, that's definitely one of the reasons. But let's also be real. There is a lot of political, emotional, mental turmoil that is happening in the USA that is making it very difficult for, you know, Black women and even Black men to feel comfortable at home. Think about all these DEI initiatives that are being slashed and kind of rhetoric around, you know, Black people and other people of color generally. I think that is certainly a very uncomfortable position for anybody to be in. And for most people, they're looking out. Like, what else is out there for us if it starts to feel like our country is in such a state of turmoil? Is it Ghana? And, you know, one might argue that, yes, places like Ghana are certainly the places where, you know, you might come and feel at home. So apart from the fact that we are a society where people see themselves, there's also the reality of the layer of the land in the United States where most people were born and raised.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, where were you born?
So I was born in Ghana and I left Ghana when I was around 14 and moved to London.
Oh, my goodness. I am so curious in all the places you've lived. Like, I'm trying to imagine someone being born and raised in Ghana for 14 years and then going to London and then going to China.
So I was born and raised in Ghana, moved to London. So even before moving to London permanently, my mom would make us go to school in London. So it was a little bit of a movement even before the permanent relocation. Mm-hmm. And then I also went to school in the Netherlands. So I did, I studied in the Netherlands. I studied European law there. Right. So
for, that like, was university?
For university, yes.
Wow.
And then I subsequently got offered a job in Hong Kong, which I relocated from London to Hong Kong, stayed in Hong Kong for 2 years, also have a master's degree from a Chinese university in Beijing. So for me, it's very much like I'm the true definition of what nomadic looks like.
You're the perfect person to be doing what you do.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, you are... So I want to know, what have you learned that you can never learn in a textbook, or no one could have told you, that you learned from living in these different places and not just visiting, living, having life experience?
That's such a great question. I would say the number one thing I've learned is humility.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Humility, because you just don't, you realize when you travel how much you don't know and how much you need to be open to learning. Because sometimes we exist in our spaces, in our world, and we think we've seen it all, especially when you've lived in a country like the USA or you've lived in London. You almost are taught to believe that your country is much better than the rest of the world, right? And honestly, that's just not the truth. Every country has had something to offer that is so versatile and so different. When I think about Ghana, for instance, and I think about the level of culture and arts and culture innovation in that country, it always blows my mind. And these are things that I just didn't know existed. So for me, traveling has allowed me to really be humble, to break my my stereotypes about certain countries and really allow myself to delve deeper into the nuances and the differences. I just did a trip to China, and honestly, China was one of the most fascinating places that I've ever been to in my life. And it's just so different from what they tell you about on,
really?
You know,
in what
on
way?
The media. It's extremely advanced. It makes everything else look like a third world country in so many ways, you know, like it's a completely cashless society. I remember giving the nail tech I remember giving the nail tech cash for my nails and she literally burst out laughing. She laughed at me like I was a clown. She's like, why are you giving me cash? She was so surprised. She hadn't seen cash in months or years, whatever it was. So that's the type of society it is. Yet when you look on, you know, mainstream media, we're made to believe that China is so backwards, especially when you contextualize it in, you know, in the context of COVID-19 and everything that happened then. So I think the main thing that travel has taught me is humility and understanding that I don't know everything. And there is so much to learn in the world because the world is so huge and people have so many different yet strong points about them and how they live their lives.
That is really the gift of travel, honestly. I actually lived in London too for 4 months. I studied in London. Yes.
Do you remember where you studied?
So my tube stop was Tottenham Court Road. So pretty much central London. Well, that's all I remember. I don't know. It's like central London. It was in the city. Do I sound crazy when I say that?
I love it because like most people will be like, oh, where I lived is this. But you're like, I specifically remember my tube stop.
That's it. That's what I remember. I'm like, that's where I had to get home. And I remember this was one of my first times because I also studied abroad in Costa Rica. But what I never forget, you know, you can travel to a lot of different places when you're in Europe. Well, that's the UK. But when you're over there, like you can go to Paris 2 hours on the bullet. It's a train, right? The Eurostar, I think. And I don't remember how I got to Morocco. Like, I can't remember if it was that trip or a different trip, but I will never forget being in Morocco and hearing the call to prayer for the first time. I was so scared. I thought it was an alarm system. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I thought, I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? I was like looking around.
I have such a funny story about that, right?
Okay, go ahead.
I remember being in South Africa in Cape Town and hearing the call to prayer, which I had also never heard before. And I was staying with a friend and he was in the other room. So I went to his room like, I was like, sir, why are you making noise? What's going on? I'd never heard it before. And he had previously traveled to a few countries before, I think maybe Morocco before he came. Mm-hmm. So I thought he had even converted into Islam and was praying because I'd never heard it before, right? And I was so shocked. But I can really relate to you on that point. But again, it's the humility of knowing that, you know,
exactly. And I was there and I was like, wow, because everybody just locked in, like started taking their rugs, you know, facing, can't remember which direction, but everybody knew what this meant. And I was like, oh, this was like a lesson that no book could have told me. Nobody could have taught me. And it really, that was like one of the formative moments in me being open-minded, because I think the USA not only tries to brainwash us that we're better, but America also acts as an authority on morality, on religion, on everything. That we not only are the best, but we're the ones that make the final decision on what's right and wrong. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I'm rethinking this whole, there's only one way, there's only one religion. Because I'm like, wait a minute. So you're trying to say everybody here wrong? All these people, these children, these everybody. And so I just think the beauty of travel is, like you said, it really introduces you to people who think outside of yourself and differently. And in terms of China, too, I think that China is getting a lick back now because during COVID-19, Mr. Trump was very much China, China, China. Like, you know, he was over here, you know, calling, using slurs, essentially blaming the whole thing on China. And now with the trade wars and everything that's going on TikTok specifically, we're starting to see them lifting the veil a little bit, like on the supremacy aspect of America. Like, you think your bags get made wherever? They're made here. We're the ones that actually have the manufacturing. United States, you don't manufacture anything, basically. We do. We got the power now. So I'm like, I've been watching it. And another thing, too, that they've been dismantling is the idea that the quality of life is better in America. They've been showing, and it's kind of like what you're saying. I saw, like, speaking of cashless, I saw a TikTok of a guy, like, put his hand on something, and it just, I don't know how it knew it was him, and it paid it, like, automatically. He just, or another one where he opened almost like a convenience store where you open, you get a drink, and it was like a camera up there. He didn't have to pay or say or ring up anything. He just took the drink out, and it knew it was him and knew what he got, and that was it. And I was like, wow, maybe we're not as advanced as we think in some ways. So back to you, I want to know, what led you to create Sorte Chalet? Like, what need was there? Like, why create a company that brings groups to Africa?
Shella, before I even get into that, I wanted to just add on to this unveiling that you mentioned.
Yes.
I think a similar thing happened with Ghana, right? When you think about the year of return.
Yes.
In 2019, everyone and their grandma going to Ghana. I would go to Ghana every December when I was living in London. And that was like a thing where the diaspora would come back home. You know, your friends have come back with their pounds. They're going to splurge, you know, with your local friends. And I remember I would go back and I would tell my friends, oh, Ghana is so lit. I had such a good time. And they would just look at me like, what are you talking about? To go from, you know, that reaction to all my friends, from my Indian friends to, you know, my British friends, asking me to come to Ghana with me in December is so fascinating. And the reason that happened was because the unveiling that you speak about, as we're experiencing with China. And I think this is why media is important. And this is why platforms like TikTok, Instagram are so powerful, because we allow it. It allows us to really dismantle some of our views and our thoughts. And, you know, there is a gentleman who is called Edward Said. I don't think he's alive, but, you know, I studied him in law. And he writes about this concept called Orientalism. And Orientalism is essentially when, you know, the West basically does a study of the East and makes the East seem like it's this interesting space, whether that's North Africa or East Asia or the Middle East. And actually what Orientalism does is it's a political ideology and a tool that dominates and reshapes and controls the narrative of these places. And I think what travel does is it really breaks these ideas and these stereotypes. And the media unveiling of places like Ghana during the year of return, and, you know, you have champions like Bozoma St. John, who I really admire, really shaping the experience of how people view Africa, with how bold and loud and proud she speaks about places like Ghana. And I think that that is incredibly important as we continue to really get to know our roots and our ancestors and where we're from. We need to continue telling those stories via, you know, all these media platforms that exist. So,
yeah, and I think you're right, because it's hard to hold up a stereotype with personal interaction. Like, they kind of fall to the wayside when you get to know people one-on-one. You're like, oh, they're more like me than different. Or you start to just develop a new respect. With that said, though, one of the things I'm thinking about is, how do we, as Black Americans, we have passport privilege, you know, we do carry a certain privilege living in the United States. How do we travel to places like Ghana without replicating colonizer mindset?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Ooh, this one's an interesting one, huh?
It's hard.
This one's an interesting one because it is true that we can tend to project some of the things that, you know, we've absorbed in the countries that we exist in when we go to countries in Africa or in Asia, whatever that may be. And I think that the main thing is, again, I'm going to bring up this concept of humility again. travel is about humility. When travel isn't about humility and it's about ego, that's when you see things like colonialism form. When we enter a space of humility when it comes to travel, we experience culture. We experience true exchange. We can actually appreciate the culture, and it doesn't become an appropriation, it becomes an appreciation. So for me, when you're entering a new space, whether that be Ghana or Nigeria, wherever it is that you're really walking into, it's really one, allowing yourself to say, hey, I know that I don't know everything. That's the number one most important thing. Because if you enter a space and you know you don't know everything, it allows you to have a curious mindset. So instead of exclaiming, you're questioning, you're asking, you're willing to be educated. And I think that that is the first and foremost thing. As you said, I loved what you said. That was such a powerful statement when you said America acts like an authority on every single thing. And I think that that comes from a place of ego and not a place of humility. Mm-hmm. And to turn that upside down, it's going in as a curious traveler, accepting that you don't know everything, and really allowing yourself to critically access what you've been told and what you're experiencing, and really forming your own opinion based on those experiences. So to answer your question, I think the best way for, you know, people from the US or, you know, the UK as well, coming into new countries, new territories, is really being culturally curious and humble whilst you experience those destinations.
Culturally curious. I love that. And be a curious traveler. I think that's kind of the ethos of all the work that I do anyway, like with Unruly. At a core tenet is being curious about yourself and the world. So I love that you said that. You've said before that wellness is a birthright, not a luxury. What systems or stories are still making people believe otherwise?
Wellness is a birthright and not a luxury. I think, you know, there is, when people talk about self-care, and, you know, I love a good self-care TikTok video or a good self-care YouTube video. It's often, you know, grounded in consumerism, right? Whether that is, you know, paying for the most expensive spa to get your feet massaged, or, you know, a facial. And that tends to make it feel as though it's a luxury for most people, right? It's if I can't afford it, then I don't deserve self-care. But self-care is everything that you do that connects you to your body, right? For me, my ultimate self-care routine is just laying down and refreshing my mind.
Yes.
Sometimes people ask me, what do you enjoy doing? I say, I just enjoy laying down.
Me too. Me too. I'm just chilling.
I just need the peace of laying down. And I don't have to pay anyone a penny to lay down.
Free 99. Right?
And I thank God for that. I thank God for that privilege. But I think for me, when I say, like, you know, wellness is a birthright, it's essentially your birthright allows you to connect with your body. You're born with a body. You feel your body. You know your body. That is something that you get as a privilege from birth. How do you connect with your body doesn't always have to be linked with consumerism. It can just be linked to the surroundings around you, whether that is interactions with your family. You know, I love this book, Ikigai, which is a book I read a year ago or so. And it says that there are Japanese centurions, and these Japanese centurions live till 100 plus. And one of the key ways they do that is by just connecting with their family on a regular basis, because they live in close proximity to the people they love. And these are just like things that you can do without spending a lot of money or having to, you know, go to the most luxurious spa. As it pertains to travel, it's also just, again, coming back to this point of cultural curiosity, going to the places that connect with your body and your spirit and your soul, which is why we see a lot of Black women come into places like Ghana, because you have the Cape Coast slave dungeons where our ancestors, unfortunately, had the displeasure of going through some of the, you know, the slavery and the transatlantic slave trade issues that we had. But I think ultimately connecting with the soil of that land is a way that people feel and connect to, you know, that wellness experience of knowing that wellness is not just wellness is not just healing, it's also restoration and reconnecting back to the land. And I think that that's super important.
When you are bringing a group to Ghana, what is it that you hope they'll walk away with?
That's such a sweet question. It's a sweet question because this is essentially why we built this brand, why we built this company. My favorite thing when people leave Ghana is when they say to me, this experience changed my life, right? Travel is supposed to change your life. You cannot go to and see the world and return the same way. I am a completely changed woman because of the moment I stepped on a flight and lived in a different country and immersed myself into that culture. And the most powerful thing for me when a guest or a chale, who is our friend, that sort of chale as we call them, is when they say, Vedette, this experience changed my life and I will never be the same. And we've had so many guests who have traveled with us, you know, not once, not twice, several times, because they know that when they touch the soil with us, it's not just travel. It's a friendship. It's a long-lasting connection that is going to last for years. So that is what I want people to take away. If you don't take away anything, no souvenirs, nothing, even if you don't like the Ghana jollof rice, sure, it changed your life. Just make sure the country changed your life. Something, you took something away. And for me, that's the most important thing. Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to touch on this because you say, so sorted chalet. So I know I'm messing up all the pronunciation because
You're doing good. I love it.
Because so for those of you who don't know, that's the name of the company. So I learned that sorted is like, I got it handled. We got it figured out. And chalet is like a mate, like a friend.
Yes.
So like we got it, friend, like that.
Remember.
Okay, you
I'm
see
so
me?
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's like, you know, your trips to Africa are sort of chale. Like, we've got you, mate. Like, don't worry about it. We're going to be your buddies. We're going to be your friends. Africa is a place that is not entirely demystified. There is a lot of fear, you know, about safety when coming to Africa. We don't take offense to it when people say, oh, I'm a bit worried. Like, will I be safe? We don't take offense to it because, again, that's what the media has shared about the continent. But at sort of chale, our sole and primary goal is to make sure you know that that trip to Africa is going to be seamless and you are in safe hands.
How do you go about making sure that your groups are safe and they feel safe? Because a lot of women, even in the States, are like, oh, Sheila, I want to go to the retreat, but I'm scared to travel by myself. I'm scared to go to a new place. I don't have anybody to go with me. How do you deal with like those anxieties?
You know, those anxieties are so real, and not everyone is going to just up and go to a different country by themselves. And even me as a seasoned traveler, there are times where I go to places and I look on my phone. You know, when Facebook used to do that map where you can see how far you've gone. Mm-hmm. And I look on my phone and I'd be like, what are you doing here? You don't even know how to pronounce this airport. Like, what's going on here? You know, and I'm a seasoned traveler. So how much more people who are, you know, perhaps traveling for the first time? I think for us, the main thing is community, right? At every point through our kind of journey in terms of bringing people on board, our trips, X, Y, and Z, is really facilitating community at each point. What does that mean practically? It means, one, hosting what we call community calls and essentially giving the travelers a chance to meet each other before they even join the trip. And even prior to that is also information calls. So information calls to actually meet our travel planners to ask them questions about the trip. So you know that you're actually speaking to a human being, which is important in our AI generated world right now.
Oh my goodness.
Right. And the second thing is the community calls where you actually get to meet the people you're traveling with, which is very important. So we host about 2 to 3 community calls before your trip. And we consider that important because you really get to understand why you're coming on the trip. Some of the cultural differences, you know, that you need to acknowledge before you come on the trip. And then also just to really allow you to ask the questions that you might have been thinking about, but didn't know how to go about it. And of course, you know, using platforms like our WhatsApp group chat to to really allow people to connect and ask us questions. I think when people are making such a big decision, that one costs quite a bit of money because Africa isn't cheap. Let me be honest with you guys. And it's such a far away journey. It's really making sure that you're holding their hands through the journey. From the moment they decide to make the decision to come, whilst they're on the trip, and even when they leave the trip, you know, people sometimes do feel a little bit like, you know, post-travel depression. And, you know, we have had people reach out to us and say, oh my God, like, I don't know why I'm back here. I wouldn't be there. And as a team, we were constantly thinking of how do we support our guests through those moments. And that could easily be, you know, sending them a gift that they've been wanting from Ghana for a while. I think the most important thing is really treating our chalets like family, and making sure that we can give them an elevated experience that goes, you know, even beyond money. And sometimes that doesn't require us to buy or spend anything. It just requires you to check on someone and say, hey, I noticed you've been quiet in the group chat. Are you okay? Are you feeling nervous about the trip? What can we do to support you? So really creating community checkpoints throughout the journey.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, can something this small throw my body off balance? Time to consult the online experts.
Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
You only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Fast.
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I love that. I love that. That's really important, I think, especially for Black women, who that's mainly my community, is they just want the experience of safety and being thought of and being cared for. So that's very important to us. Okay, so I got a question because I've never been to Ghana. So I heard there's Ghana and then there's Dirty December Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the difference.
That one. That's a great question, actually. Shelley, you're really coming. You're unlocking everything for the girls. By the time they're going to know what they need to know. So Dirty December Ghana. Honestly, Dirty December Ghana is... And now I work in Dirty December. You know, I'm there to ensure that our chalets are having a good time. So it's a very different experience for me. But let me talk about how I used to see Dirty December Ghana before I moved to Ghana and settled and started working in the scene. Dirty December Ghana was like the one thing that I look forward to all year. I'm telling you, your girl would save her money and make sure she had the most lit fit, ready to have a turnt time. Like, I was like... January 1st, I'm ready. Just thinking about my Dirty December Ghana. Dirty December is like a three-week festival for the whole of December where people are outside. And that stems from not just like, you know, the diaspora coming back, but also the local community really getting a break from work. So most people will get a break in December. So a lot of people are ready to splurge, have a good time.
Wow.
And it really just feels like one big, you know, one big festival. I think the best way to describe it for someone in the US or a Black woman in the US is really thinking Essence Festival for 3 weeks. That's sometimes what it feels like. But of course, this isn't New Orleans. So you are meeting people from Ghana, people from Nigeria, people from the UK. Now it's like completely global. So you're hearing all sorts of accents as you're in the club dancing or at the market buying your souvenirs to go back home. But it just feels like 1 3-week festival. Now, Ghana outside of Dirty December is still a fun time, right? You're still going to have a great time. But I also think people miss the ease of just enjoying the flow of Ghana outside of Dirty December. Because let's be real, after you hit a certain age, you're not trying to be outside every time.
I'm not speaking
for myself or I'm speaking for the ladies in the back.
But I'm an auntie, so yeah.
You know what it is? Like, there are times you just don't want to be outside. You just really want to be connected by a lake, sitting on a boat somewhere, and just like really connecting with the nature. And that's what Ghana feels like outside of Dirty December. For the party chasers, yes, you can go and do your party chasing. But for the people who really want to connect with nature, there are so many beautiful places, particularly in an area I love called the Volta region, where there are just so many beautiful nature environments, whether you want to be by the lake, whether you want to be by waterfalls, whether you want to go hiking. People don't even show you that part of Ghana, because when you come to Ghana for a short time, like let's say a 7-day trip, as we're going with Unruly Retreats, it's very hard for you to see all the other parts of the country. So for me, coming up to Ghana outside of Dirty December, it's actually the level 2 life hack, because you get all the gems, whether that is going up north to go and get some shea butter from the local woman who works so hard to produce these items. It's a different experience because you get to really connect to the land in a very different way outside of Dirty December. So it very much depends on what you're looking for. I know on our trip, we really are striving to, you know, get that balance right, whether that's just creating that community space where we get to interact, or our vision board morning that we're going to be doing on the trip as well. I think it's important to strike the balance. Whilst Dirty December is so much fun, you know, I know some people are also just looking for that connection. And that's why, you know, I do look forward to parts of our itinerary, like the Cape Coast slave dungeons, for sure.
You know what? Yes. And you led perfectly into my next question, which is there's so many things on the itinerary. We're doing a cooking class with your mother, which I'm very excited about. We're visiting an orphanage. We're going to the markets. We're going to Asin Manso. We're talking real estate. Of course, Afrofuture. Out of all the things we have on our itinerary, what are you most looking forward to?
This is such a great question. Oh my God, you're so good at this. Wow.
Thanks.
You need to be on like a global stage somewhere. You're too good.
Okay. Hold on. Say that again. I'm going to record and play it everywhere. Let me
start. Everybody.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
What am I looking forward to? You know, this. To be honest, I'm looking forward to everything. But there's one thing that I definitely want to flag up is definitely the real estate tour. The reason why I say that is not everything. I think I'm connected to everything. But I say that one because I always use this phrase. I say cultural capital and cultural connections can lead to economic connections and economic capital. And that's one thing I love about our business at Sota Chale. Yes, we're creating a channel for cultural capital and cultural connections, but people like me who came to Ghana for just enjoyment, which was our cultural capital, have now invested in the country and have built businesses that allow people like yourself to come and explore. And I think for me, it's exciting to do the real estate side because not only do you get to like come and have fun, but you really get to see what, you know, you could potentially, the life you could potentially build for yourself in the country. And I think that's a unique part of our itinerary that you won't find in a lot of, you know, December itineraries. So it's really thinking about not just the now, but also potential long-term connection with the country. And I'm most excited for that because we get the chance to really be at the front of making sure that our chalets and our travelers can potentially have that economic advancement as they consider investing in the land.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that, honestly. Every day I wake up and read another headline. I'm like, I cannot wait for that workshop. Because maybe the way we need some security in another place is getting crazy. Not us being refugees, Cheryl.
Oh, Lord.
It's crazy. Okay, so this is the part of the interview where they have an unruly toolkit. It's like their big toolkit and it has all these tools in it. So if you're going to put a travel tool in their toolkit, what would you leave them?
Oh, that's, you're too good with these questions.
Don't get gassy. I like running on E.
No, I knew I was going to have a great time on this podcast, but this is probably the best podcast I've ever been on. Like, I'm just enjoying the conversation so much.
Thank you.
I'm dead serious. This is not gaslighting. I think my travel toolkit, going to say headphones, but I don't think headphones are the right travel toolkit for a group trip. I think you need to come there and be excited and have your ears open. So my travel toolkit, I have to say, is a neck pillow.
Period. And a good one. Not all neck pillows are created equal.
No, definitely not, right? And of course, if you are one of my bougie sisters flying, you know, first class or Delta One, maybe you might not need it.
Yeah, but right?
For anyone else who is traveling in different ways, I think a neck pillow is like, I literally can never travel without a neck pillow because like for me, immediately I sit on a flight, I'm falling asleep. If that's not in like, you know, a business class seat, I'm immediately fall. Like there's no chilling, you know, there's no, oh, I'm going to watch a movie. I'm sleeping. So neck pillows are my
number one. I am so jealous of people like you. I cannot fall asleep. I know I'm bougie. I can't fall asleep if I'm not in first class. If I'm in first class, I can go right to sleep. But if I'm in any other class?
No, my thing is like I can sleep anywhere. That's my life problem.
I admire you so much. My husband and his kids are just like that. It doesn't matter. We go on a train, a plane, a bus, anywhere. They're all knocked out immediately. And I just be up looking around like, wow.
I can sleep anywhere. I could even sleep right now if you needed me to.
Please do that. No, just kidding. Videt, thank you so much. This was such a fun interview. And what I love so much is I'm reminded of why I'm so excited to go. And part of it is not just because we're going to Ghana. I've been wanting to go for years, but it's that we're going with you. And I really love your ethos and the way you care. It was just so important to me. I'm like, I cannot go unless the facilitator knows how much I care about my girls. Like, I care so much. I'm not your average retreat producer. Like, I really try to be very mindful about the way that I travel. And so I am just so glad that we got to have this conversation. And I hope you learned something new about Ghana. And Videt, let the people know, where can they find you? Because you go other places in Africa. You have many trips. Maybe people don't want to come with me. What? But if they... how dare you? But yes, let the people know where they can find you and follow you.
So you can find me at Videt Ajololo on Instagram. So that's my first name and my second name if you want to see all the exciting travel things I'm up to. But more importantly, if you want to travel Africa in a beautiful way, then definitely follow Sorta Chale. That is SORTEDCHALE. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We're always excited to have, you know, new faces, new people who are trying to explore the world with us, not just Africa. We also have some incredible things happening. So if you follow us on socials, you might be going to more than just Africa with us in a couple of months.
Stay tuned. Thank you so much again, Videt. And of course, if you want more information about our retreat, we are closing registration soon. So the link is theunrulyretreat.com. All right. Thank you for joining us. Stay unruly and stay curious.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yes. If you have something on your mind, a question, or something you want me to answer, just send in a voice note at speakpipe.com/unruly. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode of Unruly.